Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Divided by Werewolves. I just I got the notification a couple days ago that we're 2 years old. So yep. We are we're toddlers.
The terrible twos.
We're in the terrible twos, yeah. Right? Whatever the fuck that means. I was surprised. It's funny. I don't really necessarily keep track of those types of things, but you know, just from various, you know, domain registrations and whatnot. Mm. They were like, hey, it's, I think it was Tumblr, which is hilarious because I haven't updated the Tumblr in forever. Because right, we don't really kind of do anything with it. But so there you go. 2 years old. We have a lot to talk about. So we're going to get right to it. I want to hear, you have joined the cult of the PlayStation VR.
Yes, I have.
And I would like to hear your experiences with it, how you feel about it.
Absolutely.
You did it as a trial version, right? Jace?
I got to, yeah.
DM'd you and was like, hey, I got it. Do you want it?
I was very skeptical, being that I think even Sony still to this point is sort of skeptical as to whether or not it's going to be a thing. But, you know, with how much it was and then my horrible eyesight, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I definitely need to try VR before I commit to a purchase. And so, you know, I had basically just been like, it's never going to happen for me. I don't care. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm old. You know what I mean? I'm happy just holding the controller and playing a video game. Right. So when this rare opportunity comes about, I was like, fuck, why not? You know, fuck
absolutely.
It. You know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? It's going to make me sick. I'm not going to like it. I'm going to be blind, so I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And I'll know that. And so no harm, no foul. Right. So I got it. And I was really nervous for some reason. I don't know why. It's my brain.
I had already done it. So I had a similar situation where I thought the same thing. I was like, my eyesight's terrible. I'm not going to be able to see anything. It's going to be uncomfortable, whatever. And then a guy that I work with brought in his Oculus and I tried it. And I was like, holy shit, I can actually do this. And it's fucking amazing.
Yes, it is. Good God. Like I put that thing on when I had it for like maybe 3-4 days before mm-hmm. I used it. But I knew what I wanted my first thing to be. The first thing I wanted to see in VR was Batman Arkham. Yeah. And so I went to a GameStop, which I hate to do. I bought Batman Arkham VR and I had to buy a second Move controller because I had just the one that I have on my PS3. So I came home, I put it on, and immediately it's blurry. And I'm like, fuck, this is what I was worried about. So then, on top of being nervous, I start sweating profusely.
I sweat like a pig when I play it.
Good God. I was dripping wet within like 5 minutes of trying to get this to work. But I pushed through, and I'm so glad I was here by myself and nobody videoed my first foray into Wayne Manor in VR, because I lost my shit, man. Yeah. Like, I was fucking giddy. Like, I could not believe, because I wiped the lenses off and shit, and I cleaned glass. So I first tried it without glasses. That was a mistake.
Yeah. So that's like no dice, which is funny because here's what's weird. Like, if I'm swimming in a pool with goggles on, perfect vision.
Yep.
I don't know why. I don't know why. But VR, no glasses. I'm like, oh, mm-mm. Okay. I'm going to go vomit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I hear things. Mm-hmm. I can't see shit. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So. And everything I saw assured me that it would fit over my glasses. And I was like, they always say that. I'm going to look like goddamn Yoko Ono or something with those big fucking, you know, those like sunglasses you put over glasses and shit. I'm like, I don't want to look like that. Fuck off. It's not going to fit my head.
Your glaucoma glasses. Right.
So I put my glasses on. I clean the lenses. I fucking put it on. I can see. And I'm like, all right. Let's go.
Right.
So I boot up the thing with the Batman and I lost it. It's fucking incredible. Like I never put on the cheap shit from Big Lots and slid my phone into it. Like, I didn't any of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, this was the first thing I'd ever seen, and it was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. I think that I can tell you that the Sony headset is it's more comfortable than the Oculus. The Oculus is very front-heavy. The Sony, they did a really good job in terms of, like, you know, it's much bigger and bulkier, but that extra padding, especially because I find that I have to wear it a lot higher on my head, like on my forehead, in order to get it to look good. But you can put it in a lot of different places and it's still comfortable. And then that also just being able to extend it out. Like, I found that so that it doesn't fog up, like, a good seal is ideal. But, you know, we talked about this yesterday. We were texting back and forth that it's like really fall and winter when it's cold. That's your best time, you know. But now, because, you know, when it's hot, like, I find that, like, if I pop it a little so it's not just a perfect seal, get some airflow in, I can still see just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm still, like, completely immersed in the game.
Right.
But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't fog up.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at. I think that the whatever that black rubbery, like those flaps, they do a good enough job even if it's not on your face.
Yeah.
To block out light, and then
you just get sucked into it. Is what happens.
You do. That's the thing, right?
The game
you get
is
so
good,
immersed in it. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Like so far, the things I play the most are Until Dawn, Rush of Blood. Mm-hmm. Fucking love that game.
Yeah.
That is so fucking good, and I've been playing I was playing the shit out of I had the two demo discs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was playing the shit out of, like, VR Worlds and that type of thing. So I finally broke down and bought that game.
Yeah.
London Heist is fucking awesome.
London Heist is great. Have you played the mech game?
On that disc, no. I played Riggs this morning.
Yeah, the mech game and the VR Worlds is one of the best VR games I've played so far.
Oh shit! Okay,
because you don't use a move control; you use a controller, and then you're jumping, you're moving, you're strafing, you're shooting. When you're looking, it's putting the targeting reticle on things. Like that is like you don't like. I prefer to use the move controllers for things, but that game, it's so smooth. You just get right in. You automatically you pick it up immediately. It's full 360 degrees. You've got full degree of motion. I think that's one of the best VR games in terms of how easily. And when you first start it, you're just kind of like, oh, but then, man, you just it's like boom, and then you're in it, and just it's great. It's one of my favorite VR games.
So I had the exact same reaction because I had, you know, Riggs was free like a while back on PlayStation Plus, and so I just grabbed it.
I don't have that one.
I grabbed it even not having the VR because, like I told you, like if something pops up, I was like, I'll grab it.
This month, by the way, there's a new VR game this month on PlayStation Plus.
Nice. I'll be grabbing that as well. But like Riggs didn't review all that well. Like it was like sixes, like fives and sixes. I had a fucking ball this morning.
Yeah.
Like I know it's primarily supposed to be an online thing, but there's a fairly substantial single player component, and that's all I was doing this morning. But I played it for like an hour. Like I just couldn't stop. It was so fun. And maybe it's just because I'm such a mark for VR right now that I'm willing to overlook.
It could be. I think that, and I'm not that you're a mark. I think that the immersion makes a big difference. You know, like I think a good example is Farpoint. I think Farpoint is a great VR game. If Farpoint was just a regular shooter, I think it'd be like you'd kind of go, it'd be kind of like mediocre, and not in a bad way. It would just be like, you know, kind of sevens, sixes, whatever.
Right.
You know, the fact is that, you know, for me, what hit it in Farpoint was, and I mentioned this before, there was a time I was walking, and just so you know, if you ever get the game, it does not, it goes right into it. All the settings for having the best VR experience, you have to go find them. It does not tell you anything. It goes right into the story. So take a minute once you're like walking around, hit the start button and change things. I was walking along and I knew there were bugs coming, and I stopped and I was pointing my gun straight ahead, and I there was a canyon to my right, and I was able to like actually turn my head, keep my gun pointed in front of me, turn my head, tilt my body, and look down the canyon. And that right there, because you wouldn't be able to do that in a first-person shooter. Wherever your gun looks, that's where you look. Mm. If you want to look down a canyon, you literally would be pointing your gun down the canyon. But that natural movement of just, I'm keeping my eye here, but I'm just going to do this little sideways glance down there. I was like, yep, that's it. That's it right fucking there. And so I think those little things make a big – they do make up for what we would – you know, maybe find fault in for traditional games. Now, not to the point where you would be like, okay, this game flat out sucks, but because it's in VR, it's good. But, I mean, you definitely, I do anyway. Absolutely. Like The Inpatient, I think The Inpatient is a cool,
mini-ass
game.
I haven't played it yet.
If it wasn't in VR, I don't know if it would be as good because it's the immersion, you know, especially those kind of creepy ass. Situations being, you know, hearing things behind you, looking around you, like seeing something in a mirror and then turning around, you know what I mean? Like, and then physically turning around, not moving, not sitting on your couch and flicking a thumbstick, physically turning around and seeing it is huge.
Yep. I have that. And I also grabbed the Paranormal Activity, game and I haven't played it either. It's funny, like most of like it makes sense that horror games are a big part of a VR experience, and the fact that I was skeptical is mind-boggling to me because that should have been obvious. But most of the games that I've bought are like horror games. But then there's other shit, right? It's even enhanced shit I already had. I had Resident Evil 7, which I haven't done yet. That's on the list. I played Wipeout this morning in VR. I've had Wipeout, the collection of whatever it is on PS4, I bought it like day one because I fucking love Wipeout.
Have you played
The Wipeout in VR? Jesus.
Have you played the Battlezone demo?
Yes.
That shit's fucking amazing.
I love it. Again,
it's because of how smooth it all works.
Yep. I only have the demo of that one, but that's also on my list to buy. I want that one too.
I think that definitely, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not going to say that you give like a pass to things. I think it's just it's different what kind of like what you're looking for. You know, so in a single in a traditional kind of single player experience, you know, it's just a different set of criteria. So
it's like Batman, right? Like that VR game, right? That would have been a cool game to play in first person, but the fact that it lasts what 30 minutes,
right? Like that would have been 40 minutes. That would have been
like a deal
DLC
breaker.
For Arkham City, right?
Yeah. But letting me be Batman in Gotham City, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like every bit of that thing's, I played through that game like six times.
Yeah.
I played through it. Katie's done it twice. Like, and if it had been anything other than a VR game, I'd have played it once and nobody else would have played it and it would have been over.
Right. Like the Moss demo, I think is fantastic. I can't wait to play that game.
I haven't done that one yet, but I've heard it's amazing.
I think that's a game where, you know, it being VR is what, you know, is essentially what makes it. I think if it wasn't in VR, would it still be good? Sure. But the fact that it looks like you're in a storybook is what does it. So, but anyway, yeah. Well, I'm glad you like it. You know, I still think it's one of those things where, you know, could you spend all of your time? Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to play like Skyrim and nothing else, but I don't think that, I don't know. I hope that Sony continues to support it because I mean, there were some cool VR games a couple months ago that seemed really cool. This is one like Chinese kind of horror game that I thought sounded amazing. The Persistence sounds really good.
Yes.
You know, I kind of look at VR being a Vita owner. I'm already like trained to be hopeful that right. Sony supports something that not a lot of people buy, and then being like, okay, I need to be prepared to put my money where my mouth is, and if I say I like VR and I want VR experiences, to pay for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's exactly right. Like, I think that's going to be, at the end of the day, it's going to be, and thankfully there are a lot of quality experiences already. And even if the support slows down or whatever, there's still enough out there for me to justify the purchase and to feel like I've got enough to play. And then the fact that so far the replayability for everything has been fairly high, you know, like I'm not tired of anything yet. Like, granted, I've had it for, you know, 2 weeks, but, you know, still like everything is still exciting. When I get into it, so
yeah, I mean, for me, I find the biggest thing is just the, you know, you do have to take the time to set things up. I mean, it would be awesome if you could just slap it on your head and be done, but with the camera and everything, that is the one kind of downside.
Yeah, yeah.
So like last night, I went to play Far, and so that essentially kind of what happens for me is I go, well, I just don't feel like setting it up, and I love Farpoint, but I wish Farpoint let you, I bet you could, but Farpoint is designed to be standing. I think VR games work better sitting because you have an immediate frame of reference for what is forward.
Right. Sure.
You know, and so with Farpoint, don't get me wrong, it's fucking amazing. Like, the gun tracking is fantastic, and just being able to walk around and turn your head and all that shit. I get so turned around and then things stop working.
Right.
And again, you can set your height and all that stuff, so I'm sure if you took the time, if you were like, I'm going to sit and I'm always going to sit, then you could set it up accordingly. But I didn't do that.
Right.
So I have to be standing. So, you know, that kind of thing is what is really for me more than anything else, because I'll just be like, I don't feel like doing it.
Right.
And I need to get – I need to get into the habit. I think once you kind of get into the habit of doing it, then it just becomes what you do.
So being that everybody in my house has fallen in love with this thing, and we're all varying heights, because at this point, Jacob's taller than I am, which is stupid. And then there's me, and then Katie, and, you know, Holly likes it. And so we have to adjust the camera a pretty good bit just to get everybody acclimated to it, and so I'm just kind of used to that. It might get old eventually, but so far, like, it's, even when I'm not playing it and somebody else is, their reactions are so entertaining still to me that it's worth the hassle of the camera.
And that's what I thought it would be here too. And my kids, they played it one day and they were just like, no, they've never asked to do it again.
Mine ask daily.
No, they have never asked to do it again. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't get it. Yeah. But I think, you know, for them, it's – I don't know what it is, but they don't ask. And I'm like, I'm not going to force it on you. Like,
no, yeah, of course.
You know, if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But I just – I do want to play Skyrim. I mean, as many times as I've played Skyrim, I want to try it. It came with the bundle.
Sure.
But I did – I did – pre-order the Spider-Man PS Pro.
Oh, nice.
So I talked to my wife about it. And I
understand.
Like,
sorry to cut you off. Sorry.
No,
but no, I tweeted, you know, my tweet about I'm in the 6.0 beta and I hoped it fixed the Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some stranger responded to that tweet and was like, well, if you have a Slim or a Pro, that's not an issue. So that should fix that shit for you, at least, if you get
that would be great.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, look, I want it's Spider-Man, I want it. And what we decided was, if we could take this PlayStation, and my kids, they have a Wii U up in the room they hang out with, and that shit's just getting old, and I was like,
absolutely,
you know, $140 for this PlayStation, or I could put it up there And then like, they don't have a Blu-ray player up there. And so she was like, yeah, do it. So, I mean, I'm still like, I have a bunch of GameStop credit and whatnot, but I need to play Skyrim in VR to see if I like it, because if I don't, then that'll go towards that. But yeah, I was just like, it's badass. It's got Spider-Man on it. And I'm sure that game, I'm not a pre-order games person, but that game just looks fucking great. Like in the preview,
that game is going to be amazing. My God.
Yeah. Okay, so we spent a lot of time on that. So I did, real quick, I did get back into No Man's Sky. I got back into that. And I'm enjoying it. I think that if you didn't like No Man's Sky before, I can't say this really would change your opinion of it. But it, you know, the changes they made over the past 2 years, and I'm just like, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Really
do make some aspects of your life easier, but there's just kind of more to do, and you can buy cargo ships and build bases, and you know you can get fleets and all that shit. And I think that, you know, like I don't know, I'm enjoying it, and I played the last one for 40 hours. I was surprised when I started up the save; it said 40 hours.
Yeah,
I might play this one for 40 hours, but I bought this one digitally because you know that was the thing about it, was I liked the game, but you know when it's a disc, and then you're like, well, I gotta remember to put it in or take the other thing that I'm playing out. You know, I don't mind fucking around, just going to a galaxy and just fucking around. But it was the whole like, okay, now I got to take the disc out or this, that, or the other. So, you know, this works better as a digital product because then I can just kind of goof around with it as I want to, you know, just like Destiny 2.
Right. Yeah.
Having that digital, what I need to do is when I get the Pro is if they ever have a sale on Monster Hunter, which I haven't played in forever, is get that the same way. And then I'd have like three lifestyle games, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing on the Xbox that honestly when I want to play a game, like I want a game, I turn on the PS4. But otherwise, the Xbox is on like constantly because that's where I watch YouTube. That's where I watch Hulu.
I never use my Xbox except you know when I use my Xbox Friday nights. That's it.
Yeah, right.
Friday nights at 10 o'clock. That's it.
So, well, I console share with the kids for their Xbox because fuck buying two copies of everything. If I can just, you know, my Xbox is set as their home, theirs is set as my home. So if I buy something digitally,
get it. That's what I'm going to do with the PlayStation. I'll keep the one that I have right now. I put that up in the we call it the playroom, and that'll be my primary. And then that way, if I buy stuff digitally, they can play it up there. And then anything with a disc, if I rent it, we just swap the disc.
Yeah.
But I have two Xboxes and I'm trading one of them in, to go towards the PS Pro because I just don't use it. I have one in the exercise room because in the exercise room, this is first world problems, by the way, I have a PlayStation TV, which I still maintain was one of the greatest things Sony ever came out with and nobody ever used it. Something that hooked up to your TV that let you play Vita games and remote play into a PlayStation? Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? For $80? Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? I've had that shit since I've been in this house. 5 years. 5 years. I didn't have to buy another PlayStation because I could remote play into my PlayStation every morning and it's fucking rock solid. So anyway – so I have an Xbox in that room. I have an Xbox in the movie room, and so Xbox in the exercise room is gone because I don't play it. And if I did play it, the only thing I wouldn't be able to do because you can like if I wanted to play at night while watching TV, I could do on my laptop. So the only time I wouldn't be able to do anything is when I work out in the morning. Well, boo-hoo! If I can't find something else to do, then you know, fucking you know, whatever. So that's going to go to pay for it. But you know what? You get so much less money for an Xbox than you do a PlayStation.
Oh, of course. Jesus. Which is – I hate that. I don't hate Xbox. I like my Xbox. I have two also actually. I have three. I have three in this house.
For me, it's that there's just nothing – you know, I just go, well, there's just nothing – that I want to play on it right now. And I know they bought like 900 studios, so maybe that'll change, but
they've already given up on this gen. They're already working on the, which is shitty. that they put out the Xbox One X at holiday, and then at E3 this year they're like, "Hey, we bought all these studios, and guess what? Our new thing's already underway." And I'm like, "Fuck you,
fuck you." I love my PlayStation. Like, I don't fanboy out much, but I fucking love my PS4, and I think in large part because they just made things so easy. And remote play was a big part of that, like because I was a Vita owner, and then I played it on Sony had remote play on PCs before Xbox did. Fucking explain that shit to me.
Right.
You know, that you could remote play. I remote play on my MacBook. It's fucking rock solid. I love it. Like, but anyway. Anyway, I got some liquor in me. I'm going to talk about PlayStation tonight. What's up, baby? Let me tell you about PS4 dynamic things.
We both need jobs at GameStop. Provided we can drink on the job.
Oh, can you imagine? Holy shit. Okay, so movies. Real quick. I find it very extremely interesting, hilarious. I don't know what you want to call it. That, like, I look at kind of Tom Cruise and Mel Gibson the same way, in that both of them have had kind of public, I don't want to say breakdowns, but
I do.
Public actions that kind of pierces the veil of their Hollywood personas to where it might influence whether or not you enjoy their work.
Yes.
I do not enjoy Mel Gibson's work anymore.
No.
Tom Cruise, I fucking love Tom Cruise.
He's an anomaly, man.
I love Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise's movie. Like, you name a Tom Cruise movie, I probably fucking love it. I loved Oblivion. Fucking Edge of Tomorrow.
Yep.
One of my favorite movies ever. Ever.
Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
And then you have the Mission Impossible movies. And I rewatched all of them this week.
Oh, my God.
Last weekend, I said, because the last weekend, Lynn and I were going to go see Fallout, but we didn't. So I said, hey, let's watch Ghost Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And she – or no, not Ghost Protocol. That was 4. What's 5? No, 5 is
– 5 is Ghost Protocol, I thought.
No, 4 is Ghost Protocol.
Oh.
5 is – shit. I need to look that up. So anyway – so we decided we were going to watch that one, and then I said, okay, well, we knew we were going to go see the movie this weekend, so I said, I will go ahead and watch all of them, and Rogue Nation was the last one.
Oh, right. That's it.
So I started on Monday, and I watched them all, and all I can say is this. If you like the Mission Impossible movies, and you do not like J.J. Abrams because of his directorial style
–
the change in direction from what Mission Impossible 2 was.
Oh, Jesus.
To what Mission Impossible is now was only possible because of Mission Impossible 3. Now, you may not like the direction in terms of like what the stylistic choices that he made, but that foundation that was set in terms of what a Mission Impossible movie was and how it changed from 2. That was in 3, and it's carried forward, and I think it's the only reason they continue to make them now, because
they found a formula
that works, and they fucking stuck with it.
Let me tell you, I was done after 2. I kind of like 1.
Such a bad movie.
It is such a bad movie.
I love John Woo. I spent my college watching John Woo movies.
When I tell you.
I love John Woo.
When I tell you that Gene and I have never been in public and ruined a movie for everyone else more than we did Mission Impossible 2, I am not exaggerating to you. And we laughed all the way through The Exorcist.
Yeah.
So it pissed off John Woo,
like The Killer? Are you kidding me? One of the greatest action movies of all time. All time. It's fucking amazing.
His American stuff is not good. I'm sorry.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Like, it's just not. It's just too much slow motion. I agree. There's too many fucking doves for no reason.
Well, okay, the joke in MI2 when Tom Cruise looks at the dove and is like, what the fuck? That was funny.
Right.
But it's not just his direction. Like, Doug Ray Scott, not a great villain. He just wasn't good. Like, I mean, there's a lot about it that wasn't good. But it was three, right?
Somebody had to sell me on it, and they were
three
like,
was when they, you got Luther back in the game, you got Simon Pegg coming on board, and then, you know, just this greater idea, and then Tom Cruise starting to put his own life at risk.
Right.
I maintain prior to Fallout, which I just saw today, Ghost Protocol was the best, not only Mission Impossible, but easily one of the top 10 action movies ever. Ever. The set pieces, everything about that movie in terms of just like the action, the humor, how it all came, like all that shit.
Them too, actually. I really do need to rewatch. I need to rewatch them also, man, because like I'm sitting there trying to. You know, my stupid alcohol riddled brain is trying to. Is that the one where he's like hanging off the side of the glass building with suction cups and shit? Yeah,
my favorite part of that movie.
My God,
there's so many good parts in that movie. My favorite part of that movie is when he gets the hose and he's gonna jump in the building and he jump through the window and Jeremy Renner goes,
"Yes,
your line isn't long enough," and he goes. No shit, like because that is exactly what anybody else would say in that situation.
Right.
So anyway, I like Rogue Nation in terms of what it does for kind of world building. Fallout.
Yeah.
Fallout's the fucking shit. It's great. If they decided right now we're not going to make any more of these, and realistically speaking, Tom Cruise, if they stick to the schedule, would be 59 years old when the next one comes out.
Yeah.
So you either have to decide right now we're not going to do these anymore, or you have to find someone new, because the joy of the IMF is that you can have a team of anybody.
Yeah.
But after everything this man has done, his stunts are fucking amazing. He learned to fly a fucking helicopter for this movie. He did a fucking Halo jump for this movie. He shattered his ankle for this movie. When you look at all the ways – and you call it whatever you want to call it. He's thrill seeking. He's glory seeking. I don't give a fuck what you call it, but it looks so fucking amazing. You cannot cast someone who is not willing to do
the
same thing. And who would be willing to do it? I would. I'll fucking tell you right now, I would do it in a goddamn second. You'd have to clean my pants when I was done, but I'd fucking do it.
Right. Yeah.
That's where – and where do you do? Where do you find an up-and-coming star, someone who's got the star power but is willing to literally put their physical form in danger to give us all like, the feels?
Like, hey, Chris Pratt, you might die. Yeah, no, I'm not doing it then. I'm hanging out with CG dinosaurs. I'm good.
You know what it is? It's not just that. There's just something about Tom Cruise. I don't know. It's just the Tom Cruise-ness of it. I don't know how to say it. It's just it's that cocky. I don't know what it is. It's what we loved in when he was Maverick. It's Maverick.
Okay.
Just all the through the years. Like, that's why Edge of Tomorrow works so well, is because you get to see Tom Cruise be Tom Cruise and then die because fuck Tom Cruise. Like, but anyway, Fallout is great.
Like I said, I've heard nothing but praise, so I'm excited to
– Henry Cavill reload his arms is –
I also love Henry Cavill.
I don't think Henry Cavill is that strong of an actor, though. I'm going to say that. I think he was fine, but I don't know that I've seen a movie that really gets to what he is capable of in terms of like really like bringing a character to life.
Okay.
I think he was good in this, but I can't say that if they had picked somebody else that it wouldn't have been that much different.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I look at things. Like if I go, I can't imagine anybody else playing this role. Then I go, okay, you nailed it. And I think in his case, I don't know if it's like the whole thing about his mustache has been more
Man. That mustache for Oscar.
But in terms of, like, could I picture other people in this role and doing as well? I think I could.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for that role from him where I go, no one else could have done this.
Gotcha.
But it was great. It was great. And I get so worked up in these movies. Horror movies, whatever. These movies, I'm like, my wife has like a hand cramp. She's like, you're hilarious. She's like, you know Tom Cruise isn't actually going to die, right? I'm like, he might die. We don't know. Spoiler alert, he's dead.
Twist. One of them could have a twist.
Shit, man. If Scientology allows you to do all that shit, I'll sign up fucking tomorrow. Holy shit. And Angela Bassett, who's a fucking national treasure, Alec Baldwin, he was fucking great. It's just – it's – everybody was good. And the night – the fantastic thing about it is, you know, they – at three, I feel like three, they went, you know what? Let's make a world. Let's not just make movies. Let's make a world. And our actions in these individual movies carry forward. They have consequences. And this movie felt like if they decided for this chapter with these people, this is the end, it'd be perfect because it referenced so many different things, brought things together, and did a satisfying, like, okay, we're good. Obviously, if they kept going, that'd be fantastic. But it was a – if they decided we're not going to do anymore, then – without, I think, actively trying to do that, they did that, and it works really well. So go see it.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely want to see it. I'm pretty excited to watch it because, like I said, I've heard nothing but high praise for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have a couple movies to talk about, both Netflix. Well, one is a Netflix original.
Yeah.
Whatever they consider an
original. No, I think both are. Well, I think they're both touted as Netflix originals, although I think one of them was a British flick that Netflix decided, hey, we'll show that over here. So
Right. So let's talk about that one first. So that is Caliber, and it's two gentlemen go hunting in Scotland, or as they say, stalking, which I think is a fantastic
– I love that
– way of putting it. And things go wrong. As they do, and and then kind of the aftermath of that decision. I feel like we have to kind of talk about what happens in order to talk about the movie.
Right, but I will say, and it's the same thing that I text you. I was like, look, the best way to watch it is to not know anything, I feel like. And so,
yeah, I guess you're right. No, you're right. I guess you're right.
So if anybody hasn't seen it yet, maybe skip ahead or skip to the next movie or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised because when you had mentioned that, I thought for sure it was going to be a supernatural thing. But then when I brought it up, it said, oh, crime drama. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Right. So that was the thing, right? So I sort of got tricked into watching it because of two things. I read – somebody saying, or I maybe it was on a podcast, I can't remember, it's podcast or I read it, I can't remember. But somebody was like, it's like The Ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, well, that's similar. My favorite. It's still my favorite movie.
Friends go out in the woods, things go awry. Sure.
Right, but that's where it ends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, if it's like The Ritual, that's my favorite movie this year still so far. So I need to watch this. And then the other thing this person either said or wrote was that they were pretty sure that the pub that the friends stumble into is the same one from American Werewolf in London. And he's like, I mean, it's probably even still called The Slaughtered Lamb. And so I was like, I have to watch this right now. And it is not like The Ritual. And they do not go to The Slaughtered Lamb. So I was
there,
like,
you go.
I've been bamboozled. Like, I've been tricked into watching this, so I'm like, you know what? I turned it on. We have to talk about something for the show, so I keep going. And then the stalking incident happens, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Like, what do you got? What do you do? Jesus. So I ended up really enjoying it.
So for me, I – I got a big like Wicker Man vibe from it.
I read that too.
And so I kept expecting, even though they said it was like a crime drama, I kept expecting there to be some kind of like supernatural aspect to it that never materialized. And that was
right.
just my fault. Essentially what happens is these guys go hunting. There's an accident and they could have made things easier for themselves by just admitting to what happened. And instead, one of the guys kind of doubles down, makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And they go back to town trying to leave and their car breaks down. The car gets vandalized because the one guy is like fucking around with like a teenage daughter of one of the guys. So it becomes this, it's not a comedy, but a comedy of errors in that these guys just want to leave this place because a horrible thing has happened at their hand. They are trying to get away with, and these things keep happening that keep them from leaving. So you have this tension of them having done what they've done. They don't want to be found out by the rest of the town, but they also legitimately can't leave. So, and then they get found out and then what kind of goes from there. You know, it was, and I think for me, just expecting there to be like a supernatural bent to it that never materialized, which isn't fair to the movie, did somewhat take away from it. But, you know, at the same time, I was just like what ended up happening at the end, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fuck that guy. Like,
yeah, I'll say
like,
here.
To me, I was just like, yeah, absolutely. I would, it was kind of, I'm not going to say it was your fault, but it was kind of your fault. So, yeah, I'm good with that.
And so, I was sort of in the same camp, man. I'm like, I'm expecting the ritual. So I'm like, all right. And then same as you, I'm like, wait, this is more of a sort of a Wicker Man thing where this is like more of a cult than just a commune. Yeah. Because everybody's related and they have this celebration thing they're doing and all this type of thing. I'm like, okay, that's what's going to happen. But then it's just like, no. And the other thing is, and what sort of takes you out of it, at least it did me a little bit, is like the one guy's genuinely just a good dude who did a fucked up thing completely on accident. He didn't even want to be there. Right. And then, but he's like,
he tried to fix it. It wasn't even his – like it wasn't even – the next thing that happened, it wasn't even his fault. He didn't ask for it and he didn't – you know, it just happened and then he's all of a sudden like, well, shit, now what?
And then it's one of these things like I hate to keep beating the dead horse, but it's like Resolution where in that one, you know, this guy who you're rooting for goes to try to help a friend who obviously has problems. And this one – you didn't know right off the bat that his friend was so fucked up. And I think he probably didn't even know how fucked up his friend was. And it was almost unbelievable the extent this guy, and you do a rail of coke now and then, whatever, but that doesn't mean you're down to murder and all this shit and be so quick to try to cover it up. This is what we got to do. Like this guy becomes like this criminal mastermind out of the fucking blue, so much so that even his buddy is surprised by it. Right. And it's so unbelievable. And so I ended up enjoying the movie, but what I thought it was going to be was completely different than what I got.
Right. And I think there's some value there. I think the performance is good and
It's a good
movie. You know, to your point. Yeah. You're just kind of like, okay, like it could have all been, you know, especially like the guy, you know, the friend who was like, well, we were drinking the night before. Okay. But you weren't drunk when you went hunting.
Right. Right.
So that's like, I mean, I think that whatever. I mean, it was good. It was for me, the enjoyment more came out of every time they kept trying to leave, and it was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
like,
I know.
I'm like that type of feeling to it. But yeah, I mean, I think that if you go into it thinking, oh, it's going to be like this horror movie or that horror movie, you're going to end up being disappointed. But
yes, big time. But at the end of the day, you could be like me and be like, oh, I was expecting something that mirrored my favorite movie and it's got something completely different. But I still enjoyed myself. I'm not mad I watched it.
Right. And I think that's the point. That's the thing, right? Like if you can enjoy it for what it is rather than what you expected it to be.
See, that's the thing, right? I wish I had just watched it, because the, yes, the little, the title card on Netflix is cool looking. Right. You know, it's like the deer skull thing, and it's red and black and shit. I'm like, that looks interesting. And then if I'd read the synopsis, I'd be like, all right, let's give this a go. And I probably would have liked it a lot more.
Right.
But still, having said that, not knowing what the thing was when it happened, I was just like, oh, fuck.
what movie reminded me of, even though it doesn't really have anything to do with it, is, did you ever see A Simple Plan?
No.
That's a great movie. Bill Paxton's in it. I forget who else. It's about, I read the book first, and I forget who wrote the book, but it was somebody who I had read their stuff through something else. It's a great thriller, but it's about two brothers that one is smarter than the other, and they come across a plane. It's like in either in Canada or in the like the Northwest. They come across a plane crash, small plane crash, in like a suitcase full of money, and they take the money and then where it goes from there. And the book has a lot more. You can go in greater depth, but it's basically about how eventually they stop trusting each other and start trying to double cross each other. It's a really, really, really good movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic book too. Well worth it. Bill Paxton.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it, because Paxton's
it is totally worthwhile. I don't know. It's just one of those movies that I only knew about it because I had read the book, and then but it's one that I don't know. A lot of people don't know about, just because I don't think it was publicized very heavily when it.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard of it. And again, like, it's Paxton, so I should have seen it. That sort of
definitely surprises. Check it out, because it's great. And this movie kind of reminded me of that, but I don't know why. So, like, if you watch, like, don't be like, oh yeah, you're gonna be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
You sold me on Paxton, man. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, no, it's. I'll have to see where
it's fucking Billy Bob's in it too.
Yeah.
IMDb, yep. Holy shit. Oh my God, it's directed by Sam Raimi? I'm sorry.
That's what it was. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great.
Seen this?
Yeah, oh no, my it's God. Really good. Who wrote the book? Who wrote the book?
It says it's written by, novel was Scott B. Smith.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon. Unfortunately, this is where the podcast episode has to end. My microphone decided to cut out, and I didn't realize it as we were recording. So, unfortunately, the rest of the show is just Mitch's reaction to what I'm saying, and then Mitch talking with no reaction from me, which sounds more like some weird avant-garde podcasting experiment than an actual podcast. So let's see. We talked a little bit about Extinction, the Netflix movie. I liked it more than Mitch did, but both of us agreed that, you know, were we still in the days of Blockbuster, then that would have been a straight-to-video release that you probably would have only rented when Twister was no longer available. But we will be back in the next couple weeks with The Meg, which surprised the hell out of me, because I did not know that was something Mitch wanted to see. So, but we'll have that, and I'm sure we'll come up with other things too. So thanks so much for hanging out with us. This has been episode 52 of Divided by Werewolves. We look forward to you spending some more time with us in 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you, good night, and have a good evening.